My guest at this time is Richard Grenell, who served as a spokesman for four different U.S. ambassadors to the United Nations, including John Bolton. He joins me now to explain his decision to back Donald Trump for president and respond to another horrific ISIS attack, this time in Turkey. And Rick, thanks very much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the terrorism, unfortunately. More than 50 people killed at this wedding over the weekend. Apparently a young teenage boy was technically the bomber, although reports suggest he was detonated by remote control. What did we learn about ISIS and its tactics through this latest atrocity?
Well, when we start to see ISIS going into Turkey, I would hate to say now on a regular basis. I think we all need to recognize we've got trouble. Turkey has been a member of NATO since 1952. It is an ally of the United States. And over the last 8 years, we've really seen a problematic relationship with Turkey, largely due to Erdogan, the head of Turkey. But it also has to do with a lack of U.S. leadership. And when we see different situations like this bombing going on in Turkey, it is a sign that the United States needs to step up its leadership. We need to be standing with Turkey to stop this growing threat of terrorism. You know, the Turks have long wanted to bring down Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian president. From the very beginning, they have stood with the United States to say that the policy that Assad should go is the right policy. And we haven't been able to implement that policy. We still, 5-6 years after stating the goal that Assad should go, the two major members of NATO, the Turks and the United States, haven't been able to coordinate enough to get rid of Assad. And now what we're seeing is the Russians feeling very confident in their ability to challenge U.S. policy, have moved in to defend Assad. So we haven't seen this in recent memory, where the Russians have moved from just talking tough against U.S. policy to actually implementing a military strategy to stand up against the United States, to stand up against Turkey, to really stand up against NATO, and nothing be done about it. You know, we still have the policy that Assad should go, and the Russian tanks inside Syria are defending Bashar al-Assad and saying not only should Assad not go, but we're going to defend him with our military, and NATO has backed down.
One more question on Turkey. You mentioned President Erdogan. Do you believe he's more concerned right now with confronting an existential threat like ISIS or getting revenge for the coup?
You know, we've seen a very problematic development with Erdogan. He's grown increasingly really someone who stands against democracy and freedom. He's been shutting down the media. He's been penalizing his political enemies. And again, he's been doing this for years. No one should be surprised. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, he was openly challenging U.S. policy on Israel and Gaza. And that was allowed to happen. So I think that the lesson that Erdogan has learned is that the world really isn't watching, the U.S. isn't paying attention, and he can do what he wants. So he is, in that part of the world, trying to make sure that he garners as much power, and there's very little check and balance internally or externally on his strategy.
We're talking with Rick Grenell, a former spokesman for four different U.S. ambassadors to the United Nations. And Rick, you mentioned the multiple attacks now in recent months in Turkey. Of course, there was Brussels. There's been a couple now in Paris and Nice, France. And then, of course, closer to home, things like San Bernardino and most recently Orlando. When it comes to addressing this threat and others like it, you obviously believe Donald Trump is a better choice to lead our national security efforts than Hillary Clinton. Tell our listeners why.
Well, I think to me it's pretty basic. I mean, ISIS grew while Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in power. Little was done. You look at the disastrous policy that she had in Libya, and I see terrorism growing under her leadership. I mean, you look no further than the fact that Hillary Clinton considered putting Boko Haram the Nigerian African terrorist group on the terrorist watch list. She considered it. She looked at the evidence. There were people within the State Department and within the U.S. government, Obama political appointees, who were lobbying her to put this group on the terror list. She looked at the evidence, and her judgment brought her to the point of saying, I don't think that they should be placed on the terror list. That was a disaster. That was a mistake. Secretary John Kerry, Secretary of State, many years after Hillary Clinton refused to put Boko Haram on the terror list, put them on the list. And it was only because he saw the evidence that 900 little girls were raped and kidnapped by Boko Haram throughout Nigeria and the region. So I think that for me, when it comes to terrorism, whether it's San Bernardino or even the ransom, the $400 million ransom, which the administration says wasn't a ransom, but it took place immediately when the hostages were let go, that payment, whether you call it ransom or not, that immediate payment is a policy that Obama defends and that Hillary defends. She says it wasn't ransom, but it was appropriate. Donald Trump says, no, we're going to stop that type of sneaky, secretive payment process. Whatever you call it, that policy will not be implemented in the Trump administration. Hillary Clinton, however, wants to continue that. All of that together just tells me that the choice in November for people is very clear. It's either you vote for Hillary Clinton and you get 5,000 liberal political appointees running the government, or you vote for Donald Trump and you get 5,000 conservative political appointees with him running the government. And to me, I look across the board at the Pentagon and the State Department and Treasury and all of the different agencies, and I say, I would like to have Trump and 5,000 conservative appointees take over the government.
Strictly on national security, do you believe that Trump is superior simply because Hillary is so terrible, or do you see some things in him that you think would make him a particularly strong leader?
Well, I recognize there's a great need for change in Washington, D.C. I'll give you an example that the State Department, where I worked for 8 years, is a bloated agency. They really are not understanding the priorities that we're supposed to be implementing for the American people. You just take the issue of foreign aid or the funding at the UN, and funding increases. There's not a system in place that allows for zero-based budgeting. And it sounds like an unsexy term here, and yet what it simply means is that foreign aid is paid out without a starting-over process, if you will. So what Donald Trump believes is that in January of the new year, that countries should have to come to the United States and to the State Department to say, this is what we're going to spend your tax dollars on if you give us foreign aid. Those types of radical changes in Washington will never happen with a Hillary Clinton. They will happen with a Donald Trump. And so I'm excited when I look at the possibilities that Donald Trump brings to Washington, because he's somebody new and different. He's not a politician, and he's not going to make decisions in the same way, which I have to say is the reason a lot of the D.C. types, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are supporting Hillary Clinton. They like the rules. The rules benefit them, and so they don't want the rules to change. Donald Trump is willing to look at Washington, D.C. and the way we run it in a completely different way, and that's refreshing to me.
Let me have you follow up on that in just a moment. You probably know where I'm going here, because there was a lot of attention by the mainstream media to this letter that was signed by 50 different professional Republican policy experts, from Richard Armitage to Brent Scowcroft, Michael Hayden. I believe your old boss, John Negroponte, was on there as well, saying they think Trump would be this complete disaster, especially with him having control of the nuclear arsenal, and they're planning to vote for Hillary Clinton. What's your rebuttal to them?
Well, look, I think that there are hundreds of experts that didn't sign that letter. And so the 50 that did sign it, I'm not surprised. Many of them on that list I've never heard of, to be honest. There are some on that list that I'm surprised are still calling themselves Republicans. there's some on that list that I never believe would ever vote for anybody but a mainstream politician that plays by the rules. And then there are some who are going to lose a whole bunch of power if the rules are changed. And so, you know, specifically with John Negroponte, I'm not surprised that John Negroponte is supporting Hillary Clinton, because he is a creature of Washington that has benefited from the system. He likes the rules. He has greatly succeeded by playing by those rules. He's a Washington insider. And by the way, I heard him personally on many occasions mock the President of the United States and the Vice President who appointed him to his positions. That's George Bush and Dick Cheney. He mocked them and their policies, but yet he continued to work for them, and he took higher jobs from them. So loyalty is actually not his strength.
How do you expect this campaign to play out in the final couple of months here? We obviously saw a little bit of a Trump pivot with the regretting the painful statements and so forth, and seemed to be a little bit more on message with this new campaign team. What's your honest appraisal of how this is likely to play out in the next 2 months?
Well, look, I think Donald Trump is a non-politician. He speaks like a non-politician. He speaks more like a human being. He speaks directly to people. I'll give you the example of when Turkey had their horrific terrorist attack, and both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton responded to the crisis. They both basically said the same thing. They both basically said, the United States is here, we hope that you're going to do well, and we're standing with you. Except Hillary Clinton said hers in about five paragraphs of diplomatic speak, and you could barely tell what she was saying. Donald Trump did his in two sentences. So what my point is that he speaks bluntly and directly, and he's learning that talking about detailed policy is something that he needs to do. So, you know, this criticism that somehow he's on a teleprompter and he's doing better because he's on a teleprompter, I think the fact is Donald Trump is still Donald Trump. He's using a teleprompter because he's now getting into more detailed policy speeches, which is what people want him to do. And that's a typical politician reaction. To say, oh, we want you, to be talking detailed policy. I think that we absolutely find value in that, but the public also wants to know how you approach things, how, real you are, how you respond to crises. And I think Trump is showing that he's much better at that than Hillary Clinton when you look at terrorist attacks or even a crisis like the floods in Louisiana. Donald Trump has gut reactions to these situations that most Americans can relate to. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, instead of going to visit the floods in Louisiana, she decides to have a fundraiser with Cher in Nantucket because she's raising lots of money for her campaign. Now, I would argue that the American people are going to look at that and say, I like Donald Trump's leadership. He's got good gut instincts as to what he should do, which is change your schedule, get on a plane, go down to Louisiana. Hillary Clinton is the typical politician that it wasn't on her schedule. She's still fundraising. She's got time to get down there. Her gut instincts and her judgment, I think most Americans are going to say, that's not what we want. We've seen that. It's a typical politician, and we're tired of it.
Well, Rick, we really appreciate your perspective. You're someone who has seen the inside of American foreign policy, and to be able to articulate what we're seeing in real time and how it impacts this campaign and America beyond, we really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you.
Anytime.
Rick Grinnell is a former spokesman for four different U.S. ambassadors to the United Nations. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.